From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Tuesday, May 26, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. Charlotte City Councilmember James Mitchell is pushing for his colleagues to name him interim mayor to finish the last 17 months of Vi Lyle's term. Steve Harrison has this report.
Mitchell is now the mayor pro tem and wants council to name him to the top spot. In an email to council members, he pledged not to run for mayor in 2027, a move that could win him support from other potential mayoral candidates among his colleagues. He also pledged to bring back the vice chair role for council committees, and he proposed 4 team building nights at Charlotte sporting events this fall for council members. He calls it Work Together and Play Together. Mitchell is one of the council's longest serving members. He has fought bladder cancer for the last 5 years. Council members are scheduled to discuss how to fill the vacancy at Tuesday night's meeting. Steve Harrison, WFAE News.
The Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools Board of Education is planning to hire an outside firm to conduct a wide-reaching compliance assessment. That assessment is meant to ensure the district is complying with all laws. James Farrell has more.
According to a request the board put out in April, the board wants a firm to ensure the district is in compliance with federal and state law, analyze risks, and make recommendations. It would include, quote, the human resources and finance departments, as well as any other departments or areas as deemed necessary. Board Chair Stephanie Sneed said the audit wasn't prompted by any specific concern.
We have an over $2 billion budget, and we also have, you know, over $2 billion bond as well. So to make sure that we are identifying the areas that we need improvement on, or that we have the greatest risk, or things that we're doing well.
Public records requests show several firms submitted information in response to the district, though it doesn't appear a contract had been signed as of Friday. Sneed told WFAE last week that she expected everything to be finalized and the assessment to begin within days. James Farrell, WFAE News.
Charlotte Douglas International Airport and Airlines, including main carrier American Airlines, have agreed to extend negotiations on a new long-term lease agreement for up to a year. Airport officials say the current agreement's terms and conditions will remain in place during the extension, and that travelers should not expect any impact to airport operations. The airport says both sides remain committed to supporting CLT's continued growth and maintaining its role as a major economic driver and transportation hub for the Charlotte region. Contractors for the North Carolina Department of Transportation downed trees and cut limbs in a West Charlotte neighborhood in 2024. They only just now cleaned up the debris. Zachary Turner has more on residents' struggle to deal with other lingering issues.
Sean Langley is the president of the Macquarie Heights Neighborhood Association in West Charlotte. This month, he alerted the NCDOT to stormwater issues on Andrew Terrace.
If it rains, that whole area is just muddy for, like, consistently.
The road connects Macquarie Heights to Johnson C. Smith University. Langley said it's a safety concern for his kids and other neighbors, who have to walk in the street to avoid flooding from Highway 16's drainage system. NCDOT declined an interview request and said it fixed the problem last October. But Langley shot a video this week that showed otherwise.
Now you'll have to watch my child go around this puddle because water is spewing down.
Langley said he's not confident that the department will consider the neighborhood's interest in other larger projects, like the now-dead I-77 toll lane expansion. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
A no-swim advisory has been issued for Island Cove on Lake Wylie near Island Point Road after a sewer overflow. Charlotte Water says residents and pets should avoid the area while crews test water samples for bacteria. The advisory will remain in place until the water is considered safe for recreation. Concord and Kannapolis are easing some mandatory water restrictions as drought conditions continue across the region. Effective immediately, residents may use soaker hoses and drip irrigation to water gardens any day without restriction. Customers may also hand water gardens with a hose if they are actively holding and controlling it. Level 2 mandatory restrictions remain in place, including limits on lawn watering to designated overnight hours twice a week. Washing vehicles at home and pressure washing homes or driveways also remain prohibited unless done by a professional company. City officials say the changes better align with regional partners, including Charlotte Water. Four of the six GOP candidates for South Carolina governor will meet for a third debate tonight at Wofford College in Spartanburg. The state newspaper reports U.S. Representative Nancy Mace, U.S. Representative Ralph Norman, Isle of Palms businessman Ram Reddy, and Attorney General Alan Wilson have all said they will participate. Lieutenant Governor Pam Evett said she won't attend, opting to hold a get-out-the-vote rally in North Myrtle Beach instead. State Senator Josh Kimbrell, who is from Spartanburg County, did not receive an invitation because he did not meet the 5% polling threshold set by the party. Charlotte's first Wegmans now has an opening date. The grocery chain, with a near cult-like following, says its new Ballantine store will open October 14th. The 110,000-square-foot store on North Community House Road is hiring about 450 full and part-time employees ahead of the opening. The Charlotte location will also debut two features unique to Wegmans, a made-to-order restaurant concept and an outdoor play area for kids. Charlotte FC says forward Wilfried Zaha will leave the club at the end of his loan spell June 30th. During his stint in Charlotte, the forward tallied 13 goals and added 14 assists. He's fifth all-time in team history in goal contributions. Following Saturday's win over the New England Revolution, head coach Dean Smith said he enjoyed coaching the English forward.
You know, if it is his last time, it's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed working with him. He's a different character. We get on really well. Yes, if it is, it is.
Charlotte FC is on a two-month break for the FIFA World Cup. The team will go into the summer with a designated player and an international roster spot open. This year's July 4th celebrations mark the 250th anniversary of independence. At the Charlotte Museum of History, a new exhibit aims to give community members insight into the American Revolution. Elvis Manayese has more.
Community members are handed a tablet inside the Charlotte Museum of History on Shamrock Drive.
If you slide it, it'll show you what that area looked like back then, as well as what it looks like today.
Visitors can see what Charlotte looked like over 200 years ago and play a little game.
So you have a little treasure map. You can collect a bunch of little treasures, so like a scavenger hunt. Okay. And then at the end of your visit, it'll tell you if you've collected all the treasure.
Wandering the American Revolution exhibit is Lynn Kelly, a retired attorney. She stares at a small sculpture of Captain James Jack. The captain wears a hat and holds a sword in his hand as he rides a horse.
Never heard of Captain Jack.
Captain Jack was a local Revolutionary War hero. He rode from Charlotte to Philadelphia in 1775 to deliver documents that helped Mecklenburg County in the fight for independence. Kelly says the act shows what gaining freedom meant to people here.
Well, they were serious about independence. And yeah, and they were organized and heroic.
A nest in a glass nearby explains why Charlotte is often referred to as the Hornet's Nest. In 1780, Lord Cornwallis and the British occupied Charlotte. After intense resistance from locals, Cornwallis fled and allegedly called Charlotte the Hornet's Nest for rebellion.
I think it shows you need vast participation by grassroots and community organizing, and you can't have these kinds of changes come from the top down. It has to really be vast and enthusiastic, community based.
The exhibit also contains a letter from namesake Queen Charlotte of Great Britain, who was married to King George III.
Honestly, you know, having to toady up to the crown and name your cities after the crown in order to gain favor with them is probably one of the reasons that some of the people in Charlotte felt like they should organize a revolution.
At the center of the exhibit, a diorama helps people imagine what Uptown Charlotte looked like over 200 years ago. Nolan Dahm is a historian with the museum.
You're looking at a courthouse that the Patriots defended and then the British occupied. You're looking at a local college that the folks here had set up that the British used as their hospital, and then they buried their dead there. There are still British soldiers buried underneath Uptown Charlotte right off of Tryon Street.
Standing a few feet away is a small construction of the Rock House, the oldest home in Mecklenburg County and the oldest surviving house from the American Revolution era in Charlotte. It was built by enslaved people.
Charlotte is a place with a lot of diverse history. Charlotte is a place where you can learn about civil rights, but Charlotte is also a place you can learn about the revolution.
Prepare to fire! On my command, now, fire!
Down the hallway, there's another room where a huge American flag hangs. The room zooms out of Charlotte and hones in on other parts of the American Revolution.
Washington knew the British were just 20 miles away in Philly.
The room focuses on other national events, like the decisive Battle of Yorktown that ended the war. 70-year-old Richard Ames says he had ancestors who fought in the American Revolution. He hopes others can become connected with the war through the exhibit.
Just looking back at our history, understanding where we've come from, because I think it's important. I mean, histories are very important for people because history tends to repeat itself.
As the country approaches its 250th anniversary on July 4th, Ames hopes other community members can get a better sense of where they come from and what freedom means today. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
And for Tuesday, May 26th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.